Moncrief on News Talk.
Bad news. The way your house is decorated is probably all wrong. For decades, it was all white walls and muted colours, but it seems as if maximalism is back. Get ready to transform your home into a headache-inducing, blinding splash of colour. The architect and artist Roisin Murphy joins us now. Afternoon, Roisin.
Good afternoon, Sean.
Why do these things... Because you know the way, say, in the clothes fashion industry, there's a catwalk show and somebody has a new style and then, you know, within a year or 6 months, the shops are copying it. Mm-hmm. What influences changes then in the way we decorate our homes?
Well, I think it usually comes from art, to be honest, which is so minimalism and modernism and everything that we've seen in that white era actually came from the early 20th century. Minimalism actually comes from a painting, just a black square from a chap in Russia. And but that's a lot. That was in the 30s. So it would take sort of 50, 60 years for it to get into our homes and stuff. But also with modernism, after post-war, there was two responses. One was to sort of like decide that they were going to make everybody better through good design. There was a kind of there was this idealized city and all that sort of stuff. But also there was an emerging trend of maximalism and kind of pink and colors and stuff again in America, as a counterpoint. But this response, I think, is probably to do with the lack of foundation in what's going on in the world in terms of climate. I think the maximalism we're seeing now is response to environmental change and the realization that all things modern are actually not good for us. So people are taking back more ownership of their interiors. There's more personal kind of interest. People are kind of wanting to express themselves more. It's also, I think, a response to the technological anonymity we're seeing and the introduction of AI and its impact on everything. So people are, I think it's the rise of individual taste and expression.
Right. Okay. Whereas when it was all minimalism, everywhere looked largely the same.
Yeah. And they don't look the same. There's, to be fair to poor old minimalism, it is an expression of an idea of kind of where the clothes are the big thing, or the space might be the big thing. But I suppose it was so rigid. Like it was very dictatorial. And I think that's the hard thing about minimalism. It's they're very architectural shapes. It's all very, very strict aesthetic.
Yes, I know. Because often struck me, you see houses and they've had some work done on the outside and they all look like, medical centres.
That was it. Yeah, come for your tea. And the tea was also very minimalist. Do you remember the tiny portions and everything is about taste? And taste, in a way, once something, it was very revolutionary at the time, and there's still a minimalist movement out there. There's still a radical minimalist movement out there in interiors that is banning furniture. So they say that the chair was invented in Roman times, and that in actual fact it's the reason we all have bad backs. So they are actually all sitting on the ground. So it's still an edgy movement, but it became very mainstream, and it became quite dull, to be fair.
Yeah.
So I think that people get bored, but it took a long time for white to get boring, but it is now apparently, and you do feel it, like you feel the absolute love of colour coming in everywhere at the moment. It's in kitchen cabinets, which have been black and white for a decade, and suddenly you're seeing like pops of green, you're seeing bright pinks, and you're not seeing kind of mid-tones, you're seeing extreme colours.
Okay.
And colours clashing with each other. Patterns, God.
That's what I was going to ask. So we don't have to worry about that sort of, whether the colours go together or not. It's really whether we like them.
Fantastic. It's whether you like them, Sean. And it's also, it's about pattern as well. So that idea. Now, it's not the easiest thing to do, to be fair. It's a tricky one, but it doesn't matter that it isn't okay. It matters whether you like it and whether it's your personality. The biggest issue is that you have got the courage to express yourself. That's the hard thing, and that's the hard hurdle to get over. That kind of, because everything is, when you walk into a neutral interior, you're not going to say, my God, this person has terrible taste. Good God. You might say they're a bit dull. But that's, or you might even think it. You'd never say it out loud. And if you're an Irish person, you'd say it's lovely, very nice. I love it. Fantastic.
Of course you
will. But you might secretly think, Jesus, it's a bit boring. So So there is that kind of like, you have to not care what anybody thinks. You have to, but it is about, you know, it could be as well because of COVID, because we were all in our houses. Nobody was visiting.
Yeah. And
my consultations, I do these consultations in people's houses, and you will see that one of the biggest changes since COVID, when I did them beforehand, was that people aren't leaving their homes. They're not having people in as much. Like, you know, the failing of businesses and restaurants. I actually think there's been a huge retraction into the home, which isn't necessarily that good for us mentally. Mm. But one of the things I think that's the other reason that houses have gone a bit wild. People are like, oh, they've become their safe space. So they don't care because they're not having the 110 people around for the barbecues and the dinner parties.
And they might just have been, because they were sitting at home for a period of years, they might have just been sick of the sight of it and go, God, I want to jazz this place up a bit.
Yeah, and bring some of those memories you had, I know it sounds like pre-COVID, COVID really had a really dynamic impact on the city. It's had a dynamic impact on us all psychologically and our families. But you did kind of think you could do anything you liked in your house. People started throwing everything out of their houses. Their houses are now very important places, but it's a very distinct marker in the psychology of the city and the home will be pre-COVID and post-COVID, definitely.
Yeah.
So I would say that that's a huge thing. And why would you, you're trying to remember the good times. So it's probably for when you were in the nightclubs, probably because you're bringing a little bit of the nightclub home. The neon sign has arrived into many a gaff over the last couple of years.
Yeah, yeah.
So some of it could be that you're trying to recall a time, an idealized time when you were, you know, before COVID, when we were all wandering around the place, hence the small mini bars and bread making machines, a little bit of the city in our own homes, you know.
But does it, like, say if you have an average size house, like even to have one wall where it's a very vivid color, is that too much? Is there still a little bit of kind of...
No, the one wall thing. No, you're not allowed to do that ever again.
All
There's
right.
no going back to the one wall. I know it's our safe space when we've got to bring colour, but you know where you can put it? Do you know where it's the new one wall moment that's happening in all the interiors? And once you see this, you can't unsee it. It's the ceiling. The ceiling is having a moment in interiors.
Okay.
There's gridded ceilings. There's chandeliers hanging off them. There's like, they were just in the 90s, it was just an array of soft spotlights, and now they're being painted colors. That color comes a bit down the ceiling, but the big thing you'll see is kind of a diamond pattern grid or a textured wallpaper on them. So the ceiling, if you want to do the one wall, that's where it's going. If you want to be careful, and I've done it myself, where if you want to, say, use a really vivid color and bounce it off a white wall, it's quite a good way to kind of test yourself for your tolerance of color, you know. And some people are very sensitive to color as well. But you can also, wallpaper is a big one. A lot of people are using wallpapers, but I wouldn't do the one wall. I would.
The whole thing then.
I think you have to do it's more is more in this particular movement. It's not less is more. It's more is more. You have to, and be courageous and enjoy. Now, to be fair, they're just interiors. Try with your bathroom. Like, you know, everybody loves a kind of a cheery bathroom. A hallway is a good place to start. And if you, I think the thing is, once you start, you won't stop.
Yeah, someone
says
it's
not mess now. It's not. And the other thing that's very good, it's really good because it helps with the recycling. A lot of this is vintage furniture. Upcycling is another reason why we're all doing it, just to say that's quite an environmental movement, I think, because you have people are trying to, they're making over pieces of furniture they don't like. So they're painting them, they're taking legs off them, attaching funky handles. And I think part of that upcycling movement is definitely part of this.
Yes, indeed. And well, I suppose, because even now, though, if you go into most of your mainstream kind of furniture shops, a lot of it is meh.
Is what?
It's kind of meh. It's kind of all the same. Meh. It's the same bland kind of, you know, stuff.
Yeah, and but the problem is it's quite difficult. And I think this is the reality. It's quite difficult to get your couch redone. Now, there is more and more furniture courses happening where you can get an upholsterer, and it's relatively the same price. But the difference is you can get something that's like your own fabric. I'm doing this with a couch of my own. It's a 90s couch that I can't throw out. So I'm getting it redone and recovered in Donegal Tweed, Studio Donegal Tweed,
oh,
which
wow.
is it was not an oh wow moment when I gave the kids the sample of the tweed. They were like, that is way too scratchy. But they have this method where they're going to hot press it, which gets the scratch out of it. But for me, it's a patterned fabric. It's not a single color. It's the first time I'm using a kind of herringbone in it, and I really wanted pattern. I was kind of going, I'm not putting a bland thing if I go to all this effort. So I think it is, there's a blandness in our furnishing that we are responding to, that we just are going, there's a uniformity, there's a kind of, now you will get some niche places, but that's why I think everybody is looking for flea markets again and for furniture that's a little bit quirky.
Yeah, because you want something that's unique rather than, you know, you go around four houses and you're seeing the same thing. Roisin, thanks a million for talking to us as ever. That was the architect and artist, Roisin Murphy there.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.